Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Owen Heary and Barry Murphy with us. Just to linger on that for a minute. The League of Ireland's great. There's none of this, I'm not celebrating. It's no, shut up. That shut you up, didn't it? When Aaron McInniff scores against his former club.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. You know, he's, as you say, scoring against his former club and then celebrating in front of the crowd. People say, oh, it's a tight crowd, but he scored a goal. Yeah. Like, you know, so why not celebrate it? I never understood players going to different teams and then going back, scoring a goal and just mute and walking away. Just celebrate. It's a goal. Like, you know, being disrespectful to the club, you're just celebrating the fact that you scored a goal.
Respecting them even more. It's, yeah. When I was there for you, I would have done the same thing. Am I right about this, Barry? It's actually a sign of respect in some cultures.
Yeah, I think like we love the pettiness of it, don't we, from both sides. The fans want to see it and Aaron wants to give a bit back. Like, by all accounts, in the warmth as well, he's getting a bit of stick on that sideline. So, yeah, you want to see it. And like, he's probably getting abused all year about not going back to Derry. He's gone to Shamrock Rovers. He seems to be the one that's always going for money. He's not going back to his home team and trying to win the league with them. So it's the really only kind of retort a player gets is when they do something on the pitch. It's the only response they can give to a fan. They can't say anything on social media to them. So the only chance he got to respond is by doing it on the pitch, and he certainly did that.
He's got plenty of time to go back anyway, like later in his career if he wants. You know, they want to be careful that they don't
take him back now.
Burn their bridges. The difficulty for the rest of us, obviously, from Shamrock Rovers' perspective, a late winner against Derry is class, Barry, but it's beginning to look very ominous. The team are playing well. Everybody seems fit and well. There's real depth across the squad. There's experience in the squad. They're pretty good.
Yeah, there's probably an argument to be made that the squad is weaker than it was last year when you look at who they've lost. Like Ferrugia, Burns, Johnny Kenny, Sean Hort, hell. But I think the older lads have really stepped up. Graham Burke, Aaron Green, Jack Byrne has been immense since he's come back in. And you add into that like, kind of the running pair of Noonan. Matt Healy has fitted in seamlessly, which is not an easy task to come to a Shamrock Rovers team and slot in so seamlessly, but they've really done that. And the youth they've added, Corey O'Sullivan as well, they've handled really well since they've come in. So it does look ominous. I think they'll probably win it at a canter in the end. I think they've got the squad to deal with Europe coming up, and no one else. Everyone's kind of beating each other around them, and Rovers are just plodding through that, picking up wins. Derry looked like they were going to get a bit of form together. They put three or four wins together and then they go and lose a really poor game down in Waterford again, and you get beaten by Drogheda at home. Those kind of results, you just can't win leagues with those sort of results.
Yeah, I also think as well that Rovers didn't get the credit that they should have possibly got for doing the four in a row. And then when they lose the league last year, it's like, oh, Rovers is finished. And now they have the bit again between their teeth to try prove people wrong. And it's, you can see in the players' determination that they struggled at the start of the season, and people are saying, oh, Rovers are where they were last year, you know, they're struggling. And now they just took off, they're flexing that muscle now, and they're really, you know, up in Derry, I think a draw wouldn't be a bad result for either team, but Derry go on for the winner, Rovers just go and punish them, like, and get that 3 points. But they just seem to turn it. Beating Pats as well, the way they did that night, that fourth goal was unbelievable. A lot of passes stringing together and get an exceptional goal over. So they seem to be gelling at the right time, I think.
I know Barry's talking about the players that they've lost, but it's also they managed to keep the core of the team together, who all had that experience of last year's run and juggling that campaign with the heartbreak at the end of the season. So you do have this kind of group of players who have been through a lot and who have a lot of success. So notwithstanding the fact that they did lose some very quality players, are they actually a better team?
I think they're a better team than last year because of the fact, as you said, that they lost it. They're hurting from last year. That bounce back to the team and to show people what they're enabled, and they have the core base of who they have. And now they have Jack Bourne coming back into form, Bourke coming back into form,
Honan,
Noonan coming in where he scored in goals, a young lad. So there's competition for places there, and he's, the whole squad is sort of coming together at a perfect time for him, and he just needs to continue that run of winning, and they'll end up pulling away, I think, from the rest of the league.
Where's the Drogheda run come from? Won the cup, obviously. Kevin Doherty, they got them second in the league. Where's this come from, on?
I think the fact that you said they won the cup. Sometimes when you have success, then you have a little bit of belief going into the following season. And let's be honest, we all thought throttled a bit down the bottom of the table, struggling to stay up. Had a great a poor season last year, but topped her off with a cup win and managed to stay up. But there seems to be just that belief now to say, well, look, we've beaten Derry, who finished second last year in the cup final, beaten them a couple of times last year, and now they got a good start in the season, and there just seems to be momentum for them. As soon as we think they're going to fade away, they bounce back. They beat Bowes there the weekend. So just when you think, oh, they're dropping points, they've lost to Rovers and they're drawing games and against Shells, all of a sudden then they bounce back and get the 3 points, as I said, and it keeps them there, thereabouts. And Kev would be delighted with that, you know, the fact that they just keep picking up points and keep staying in the top two at the moment.
Kevin Doherty and Alan Reynolds had a bit of words after the game. Look, that might be just heat at the moment. They didn't want to be drawn at it afterwards. But we were talking there about Henry Pollock and rugby. But League of Ireland has never really struggled, I think, with a bit of an edge and a bit of a heel culture and a bit of a, just a bit of a, like, let's have a scrap here and just forget about it afterwards. And it's good at actually setting the league in that way. Not that it's contrived, but it's good at getting it out there.
But I think the fact that it's a 10-team league helps that. You know, like, you're seeing everyone within a space of a couple of weeks of each other. So the little riffs, if you want to call them, that simmer from the game 4 or 5 weeks ago, it's still in your memory when you go and play them then a couple of weeks later. And that goes for players as well. And I love that in the game, you know, where Rennie and Kev were teammates at Shells when I was there, you know, good friends. But again, they both want to do the best for their club. So there's always that good rivalry, little riff. And you've seen it throughout the years. We see it with Duff and Bradley and Duff and Kev at times, and Duff and probably someone else, like, you know. But now you have Rennie getting in there, they're winning games, they're up the top end, so now he can, you know, peacock, if you want to say, and say, this is my team, this is what we're doing. But Kev is churning out results, and it annoys people at times as well.
You played for Shelburne, you played for
Sorry, Barry. It's a really emotional league as well, because there's real jobs on the line. You know, there's no huge payouts for managers or players. You're playing for contracts every year, and the older you get, the more concerned you are about those contracts. So if you look at the likes of Rennie and Kev, and there probably was dealings going on behind the scenes. I'm sure when Bowes went through that little spell, there probably was little feelers put out for a potential change of manager along the way. And that's what happens in this league. There's always those secret meetings that goes on. So I'm sure Rennie might have got wind of something, but it's kind of football in its rawest form here, with a little bit of professionalism and sprinkled with some kind of talent throughout this league. This is what it's about. And I think that's why people love it so much.
I think it's really important that actually this stuff does get amplified, and that rivalry, because it is totally real, and it does lend spice to it, and it makes the characters distinct. Like, so everybody knows Duff, right? Because obviously he comes with what he is, but the rest of the league needs to build profile and stories and narratives that we can tune into and go, oh, next time these two play, all of a sudden it's actually a much bigger game.
That's it, exactly. Column inches on both sides. It needs to have the product on the pitch, but you need to have stuff going off it as well. And listen, the Duff stuff in the stand wasn't great, I suppose, but listen, that was down to him. He wanted those inches, and it does matter. He's kind of building the mentality around Shells, around him, his personality, and him missing from that Bowes game was a huge miss for them, because of they feed off his energy on the sidelines, so he needed to be seen in some way, looking up and seeing the manager in the stands. But again, it's all about personalities, and you need to fill those inches on both sides of the paper, really.
So we're halfway through the season. What's the quality of football been like?
I think it's been... defensively hasn't been great, but that's good for the league because we're seeing a lot of goals go in. Centre-forward plays, some of the goals have been excellent. You know, Owen Eldon's the weekend against Shells was unbelievable. And I think most teams are neck and neck. Like, you know, Sligo can go out and get a result, even though they're being so poor, they're conceding goals. But you know, when they go and play a team, they just might get that result. Cork, the same when they play at home. Bowes, we thought were going to struggle after so many games, have turned it around and won games. So it's such an even league, apart from probably Rovers at this present time.
It does look like it's going to be Rovers' season, but that next tier of teams really need to do well in Europe. We need Shells to do well, we need Drogheda to do well, to keep the coefficient going, to make it easier for teams to qualify. It's kind of that whole sense of momentum is hugely important. Barry, what's your take on how good the football has been? Because certainly summer football, quality of pitches, not to correlate this with the massive debate that's happening about grassroots football, but you know, football when the sun is shining is better than when it's pissing rain.
It definitely is, and Owen's probably right. Defending's kind of gone out the window. We're kind of looking at the stats. There's 225 goals against this year compared to 197 at this time last year. So there's teams going at each other. There's not many draws in the game. Bowes still haven't drawn a game this season. Waterford drew their first game on Friday, so it's teams really having a go at each other because they can feel they can get something off each other. And the same with the big teams. They're having a right pop at them. There's nobody kind of running away with big results. And it's better for the league as well. You don't want Rovers running away with it. Like the quality that they do have, you want teams to kind of go up and meet that level with Rovers. But again, for the sake of the league, it was so intriguing last year because it went to the last day of the season. And when it comes to Europe as well, it'll be interesting to see how the likes of Drogheda do with a smaller squad. But they're probably set up in a way, a counter-attacking team, that they'll probably go and do well in Europe. They can hit teams on the break and they've got some real quality and turn to professionalism this season. That's probably the biggest thing. They had the quality players there last season and obviously they showed it in sporadic games and a cup run, but to go and do it week in, week out in the league now is kind of part of seeing what really turning professionalism can do for you.
Who's been the best player of the season so far, Barry, in your view?
Well, he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's just been a joy to watch, and it's been the younger lads as well, like Mason Melia, Elding as well. There's just Noonan, there's just quality all over the pitch. There's probably not that, we've never seen it, the quality in such young players in our league. But like Jack Byrne's come back to his form, but for me, it's been Graham Burke. I think he's a cut above everyone else. I like to say Honahan as well, but from an attacking point of view, I'd just say Graham Burke has been phenomenal.
Did he have something to prove, even at this stage of his career, after last season, just with injuries, it wasn't quite as good a season as it could have been? What do you put this down to, I suppose, is a much better question.
As a whole, Rovers have got something to prove. I think probably people probably questioned the mentality a little bit last year, had that hunger gone. And then as a player, you're thinking, well, like if that's, is the manager now looking at me to, as one they could possibly replace? And what's happened with Graham as well is that he's got Jack on the pitch with him. Like, we haven't seen that in the last couple of years, the two of them on the pitch together, and Jack just feeds it, know where he's going to be. And he's got players that it's almost an old school sort of way with Shamrock Rovers is get your better players on the ball and the rest around do a job for you. So you get Jack, you get Graham on the ball, and you've got decent enough players around you that can supply you. But for me, Graham's just gone up a level, and I would have loved to seen him being involved in the June squads, just because I think he had something totally different. I know it's people say about standards and English players coming in or Irish players playing in England coming in, but for me, Graham's a cut above the league at the moment here and deserve to be in that squad.
All right. See?
Yeah, Graham. And I also think when you say how comes Graham Burke has transformed this year, I think it's because we're praising other players that are playing against him. And all of a sudden then it tweaks him to say, well, I need to prove how good I am. And sometimes we talk about McElroy off shells, and Duffer said he's the best midfielder in the country. And when you hear that and you're playing against him, you're like, I'm going to prove that I'm the best midfielder. And I think that's what's happened, you know, Graham this year, that he's took on board. He's come back from his injuries, but he's enjoying his football now, and he's proving people how good he is. And you see that with the goals he's getting, you know, and how he plays, the passes he sees, and treading balls through. And yes, you're probably seeing the best of him now since we have in the last couple of years.
We've asked you to do a bit of work for us today. That's your team of the half season so far, so we'll see how this compares at the end of the year. Was this easy enough?
I wouldn't say easy enough, because there's some very good talented players in the league. So,
many shells and balls players in there?
No, unfortunately not. But no, it wasn't the easiest. You know, myself and Barry was talking about it yesterday, that it's hard to pick a team halfway during the season when you see everyone beating each other and one team having a high for 6-7 weeks and then dropping down, another team picking up the pace. So, yeah, it was difficult enough.
Sorry, John, you wanted to ask about Pats and the difficulties they're having before we get on to this.
Yeah, just look, Stephen Kenny has had such success in the league with Dundalk. It was just an incredible run and probably got him the Ireland job. And then you're in that position where you got the Ireland job and, you know, it didn't work out in the end, but there was such huge hope that he would do it. And there was a lovely, I suppose, fan culture behind Stephen Kenny with the fact that they liked the way the team played and that maybe were involved in some difficult groups and didn't play as well against weaker opposition. But how's it going for Matt St. Pat's? Because it just feels like in the last few weeks, they're just a bit stuck in the mud a bit. And obviously Mason Media, you know, it's been the bright spark. But are you seeing just a bit of a stagnation at the moment, or do you think it's going to come good? Because this is a long-term deal for Stephen Kenny, because he's such a big figure as well.
I said from Pats on day one, they give you too many chances in games. They leave themselves so open to counter-attacking football. You know, Forrester is probably the main player in the team, and when he plays, he makes things happen. When he doesn't play, they're lost a little bit, like, you know, how they're getting the goals or how they're going to create things, who did he play through. But they're very, very open. I remember Stephen went in there and I think they lost 6 games. He couldn't get a result for a long period. And then they go on a run of 7 and everyone thinks, oh, they're going to win the league next year. And I didn't see it, because I seen what went on before it, the way they play. and over the years the way they've played. And then you know, they start this year, few iffy results, and then they pick up the pace and you think, all right, maybe they will be up there thereabouts, but they've gone back into their old habits, conceding goals. They beat Cork with a last minute goal of 95th minute, I think it was. But other than that, Rovers really put them to the sword, you know, drawing against Waterford last week, and Waterford had plenty of chances to win that game against them as well. They had more shots in the game than Pats did, and Pats were the home team. So yeah, I just think at the moment defensively they really need to sort that out. If they've any chance of staying in the top three, they have to defensively sort out, not as just a back four, but as a team as a whole. When they lose the ball, they need to all get back and get behind the ball and regroup and make themselves hard to beat.
Yeah, I think that Stephen's got to take some culpability in the predicament they find themselves in as well. I thought they got it so wrong against Shamrock Rovers. They went 3-5-2. And you had two fullbacks in Soyberg and Breslin that were on the bench, and they'd been playing all year as a four. But he went like for like 3-5-2. Rovers just spun it down the side every time, and they just didn't cope with it. And again, at 2-0, you're thinking, you've got to change things here. You've got to get Jay McClelland on, get some legs in the middle. You're missing Forrester and Levy in the middle. Who would be Forrester is your ball man. He's the one that's going to play the decisive passes, and Levy's the legs, and didn't have it at all. And you're just thinking, a 2-0 change something. Waited till they went 3-0 down, the game's lost, and you could just sense a little bit of frustration growing in the crowd. And the same with the Cork game as well, and the Bowes game a couple of weeks ago. Just the decisions he makes, you're just looking at them going, they're a little bit odd. I'm not sure if they're the right ones at the time, and I still think he's trying to find his feet with some of these players. They obviously hit that high when he first came in and had that bounce and 9 wins on the bounce, but you're looking at those players that did well then, Mulroney and Elbazetti. Been non-existent for him this season, haven't turned up for him at all. And as you know, with Stephen Kenny, it's all about his wingers for him, and they've been absent. And you look at Sean Hoare, who's come in, he was excellent, Shamrock Rovers and called upon last season. Again, he's been really poor for Pats, and they've conceded a lot of goals as a result.
Yeah, there's a lot of individual errors as well in the team, like a 9 when he comes out and it's slotted in. And against Bowles, they're time wasting, they're 1-0 up, and they're time wasting from the first half, which doesn't help because then you can't pick it back up. And that's how they end up giving away 2 goals, and at the end they kick a ball out and look for them to be thrown back to them, which wasn't, and end up conceding a lot of goals off set pieces as well. Even last week against Waterford, chance to clear the ball, heavy touch, and it's in the back of the net. Like, so it's individual errors and individual mistakes that they really need to cut out.
The Ghanaian selectors obviously weren't watching that, because Anang has been named in the Ghana international squad, and looks like he might get some game time over the international call out. They've got a friendly, I think it's in London. So as a goalkeeper, have you been impressed with him?
Yeah, he's in my team of the half season so far. Bar that game against Shamrock Rovers, I think he's been good. Listen, Dennison's got more clean sheets than him, but his saves per game metric is way higher. He's excellent with his feet. I think he cuts out that little bit of erratic nature coming out for balls like that, which you'd no need to be involved in at all. I think he's probably one of the best keepers in the league. And listen, the more international caps and noise we're getting on players in this league, the better. And again, with Pats, you look at Josh Keighley coming through, you've got Vítislav Jaros that's obviously won the Premiership with Liverpool at the weekend. Pat Jennings has done a great job with goalkeepers and has improved him. And I think Joey Nang, if he's got a decent deal there, I think he's 2 or 3 years, so I think he'll only get better. And I think for the second half of the season, they're going to really need him.
If he gets capped, is there a chance he's gone in the transfer window? Is it that good, or is it actually they'll keep him for another season and certainly try and get the European campaign out of him, and then maybe he'll be sold?
No, I think it's a point now where they're probably doing the same as we are, giving it to the next level players down from their starting 11, their squad of 22, getting the rest involved, giving them a taste of international football. I don't think he's there just yet. You've got to get him. He's got to get a consistent run of games. They've conceded a lot of goals this year, some down to him. And like, he's just in his evolution as a goalkeeper, I think he's still fairly young in it.
Okay.
Put in international caps and European football, he'll come through that little period and it'll be all the better for it.
Okay, so he's your goalkeeper. Give us your back four. Or is it back four? Is it back five? Is it back three?
No, I've gone 5-3-2. So I've gone Joey Nang in goal. I've got Danny Grant at a right wing back. I think he's been absolutely exceptional. I was kind of going to go with him or Sua from Galway. I've got Keighley, Pico Lopez and Gretton from Bowes in the middle. And then I've got Honan as a left wing back. And then the two in front of them are Healy at Shamrock Rovers. I think he's been excellent since he's come in. He's got the most amount of passes and accurate passes in the game. Michael Duffy beside him, Graham Burke, Owen Elding and Moses Dyer up top.
Okay, Moses Dyer, top scorer in the league at the moment. So, is he in your team as well?
Moses Dyer, yeah.
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 Okay. How many matches?
How many matches? Which?
With Barry.
I've probably, I don't know, Lopez, I've Keeley. Obviously, Keeley's been excellent both boxes. I've Luke Denison in goal. His double save against Bowles definitely puts him in there for me. After 8 clean sheets as well this season. I've Owen Lamb as right back and Josh Honan as left back. And then my three in the middle would be Ryan Brennan, Jack Bourne, and Graham Bourke.
Hang on, sorry. Who was your back four?
So Conor Keeley, Lopez, right back is Owen Lamb, left back is Josh.
Okay, so you've gone for a back four.
Yeah. Okay. Ryan Brennan in the middle with Jack Bourne and Graham Bourke. And then my top three would be Warren Davis, Moses Dyer, and Owen Eldon.
This is 4-3-3. Grant, give me, it says Burke, Elding, and Dyer again. No, sorry, Elding.
Elding, Moses Dyer, and Warren Davis.
Warren Davis, okay. Why is Jack Byrne not in your team, Barry?
Most assists as well, I think, this year in the league.
I just look at Michael Duffy, and I think he's been absolutely phenomenal. Trying to bat around a bit as well. I didn't want to be too biased to Rovers, but the stuff he's doing, he's been on his own. He's pulled Derry up that league, and I think just him sitting in that kind of central position, Honan going outside him, I think he'd be formidable in there. And you just look at the kind of front three nearly picked themselves for me. Graham Bourke in behind Elding and Dyer. I think that'd be an unstoppable front three. And Matt Healy's just been that screen in front of the back three for Shamrock Rovers. And you got the other side. Danny Grant has probably gone under the radar a little bit. I think he's playing out of position. He was playing on the left for Shells last season, and he's been up and down that wing this year for Shamrock Rovers and been phenomenal.
If I can count, I think you agreed 6. If I can count. But I'm not sure if I can.
We've got Keeley, Pico, Honan together, and
Graham Bourke, Dyer, and Elding.
Yeah.
6.
The success of Dyer in the league, is that an inspiration for everybody in their scouting departments to go looking?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you have Owen Lamb as well, who's come in from America, and he's been excellent for Drott. He's gone under the radar, as Barry said, about a few players that he just gets on with his job, does his job, doesn't look for the plot. It's just one-on-one defending's been excellent, and it just gets about his business, doesn't it? Dyer the same, comes in, he's top goal scorer, 9 goals, and he's, you know, he's a threat. He's not the tallest of lads, but every time a ball comes into a box, he just seems to be attracted to it and gets his head on things, which you expect him to be out-jumped by centre-halves at times. He doesn't. He actually out-jumps them, so it's great to see, you know. But even younger lads, Owen Eldon, 19 years of age, you know, first real season, and he's scoring goals. He's actually an excellent player in a really poor Sligo team, and you know, he's sort of keeping him in games at times with the goals he's getting. He's making his own goals. Warren Davis for me works so hard across the line, and he creates things and makes things happen for Drott, and he's a player that suits Drott for the way they play. But definitely it's great to see that you have players from all different aspects of the world coming in and applying their trade in our league.
Yeah, and hopefully if any of them do end up leaving, they leave at a profit for the clubs, and that's
what we're hoping now. Yeah, that, you know, we get profit to see obviously Amelia going from Pats with big money, and we're hoping that other players will go for that sort of money as well around the league and generate more interest and more infrastructure then be put in from the money they generate.
Yeah, and it's really important that Mason Amelia has a good season, that actually he ends up
he's joining a massive club now, so.
But it's you know, Champions League club, obviously.
Well, it would have been perfect for him going over at this stage when they're struggling near relegation. You know, he might have got in and would have seen how well he would have done then.
Our live game on Friday is going to be on News Talk. It's Cork City against Shelburne. I think it's Gerard Nash's first home game as manager of Cork City. If I'm not mistaken, Stephen Doyle is going to be on the call for that one. What's the story, Barry, with Shells at the moment? Their form has been really in and out. Can't score and then score loads of goals. Don't concede and then concede loads of goals. Definitely not quite at the level that they need to be at the moment. Are they going to turn things around after the mid-season break?
They're not, unless they get reinforcements in. I just think he's trying to play a bit more football than they did last season, and they've gone away from what was successful for them. They've given up so much more many goals than they did last season. They've scored the exact same amount as they scored last season. But listen, you can't underestimate how much the missing Paddy Barrett at the back. He was like a quarterback slinging balls over to the left, slinging over to the right. And obviously the clean sheets have stopped. They've dried up. And Conor Kearns probably hasn't been at the level he was at last season either. But you just look at them going, they're just not making the chances, and they're never going to be prolific goal scorers. So when the clean sheets aren't happening, then the inevitable points tally doesn't meet what it was last season, but they've got to react soon because they'll find themselves, they've got the game now on the 13th of June against Shamrock Rovers in Talk, and I think that's the one Damien's probably pinned Barrett's return for, and that kind of leads into that European campaign. So it's really on that game. If they don't get a result out of that, you can nearly throw away the league for this season and concentrate on Europe, because that's, Rovers aren't going to lose too many more points, so that's going to be a huge game for them coming up.
What do you think is going on?
I also think the fact that they're champions makes it difficult for them. You know, last year they had a mindset where they're going out playing teams and teams will come at them and they'll be able to counter-attack all the time. But this year, it's set on them. Teams are going to Tolga. You see them sitting back against Drogheda in the first half. Drogheda set back. Shells had no ideas to break them down. Second half, then, it was all Drogheda. Basically, you know, they had better chances. And I think that's the thing about being champions, and people think it's easy winning the second league. It's not. It's so extremely hard to win that second league back-to-back, and they're finding it tough at the moment because teams are going there knowing that they're champions and want to turn them over.
I just want to ask about Tiernan Lynch before we wrap up. You know, there was a lot of talk in the pre-season about the fact that they'd signed very experienced players. Too old was essentially, the squad is too old, you can't win anything with our lads, was the, to paraphrase Alan Hansen. He's actually done a really good job. I mean, I don't know, 150 miles down the road, so it shouldn't be that big a deal from Larne to Derry, but there's just a different culture. The quality of the League of Ireland is much better than the Irish League at the moment. Anybody who saw the recent Irish League Cup final will attest to that. It's taken him a little while to get going. Many of those players are beginning to find form. What kind of a job do you think he's doing, Barry?
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. He's probably had a look at the league from afar. He's not one that's come in and had no idea what was going on in this league. And obviously, he's scouting for Larne last year in the Conference League. He would have had a look at Shamrock Rovers and what they were about and structures and things. But the thing they've done really well is get the training ground. They're using the Derry GAA training ground as well. And you talk about Drogheda turning full-time and professionalism. Derry were going all over the shop to train. They were training in one place for the football side of it, going to the gym, going to a physio on a different side of things. So like, you're moving all over the shop. They've got one base now. And it makes a massive difference when they're going in and you're together, you're around the same boys every day. But what they brought in real quality. They spent money on it, though, which is the thing. They brought in Holt, obviously, at centre-half, who's made a difference. They got a good goalkeeper in Brian Maher. So the basis for a good team is there. And for the first time, I think you're starting to see that new Brandywell with a bit of life to it. Like, the old place used to be a fortress going up and playing in there. You used to hate going up. Your bus used to be smashed up. You'd be smashed up on the pitch as a team. It was a really tough place to go and play. And you've got to get that kind of little mentality back into the stadium as well. But it all comes from results on the pitch, and they are starting to come. There's just a bit of inconsistency in performances. As I said, you get three or four wins and then you're losing a really poor one, and then Rovers are pulling away again a couple of points, and that was a huge one the other night. But it shows that they're not too far away, that if they can tweak second half performances and put in full 90 minute performances, they're not too far away. But again, it's going to be a long time catching Rovers. I think they're still too far ahead of them.
I know we'd obviously prefer a grass pitch in the Brandywell, but even the new pitch there looks slightly better to go with the new Brandywell as well. So,
and I think any pitch open dirty was better than the one to play then, because of a 10-foot drop from one end of the pitch to the next. And I used to remember playing
corner flag, could you?
Yeah, down that corner you couldn't get over. You were kicking the ball up a hill, like, and it was just coming back at you. But yeah, I agree with Barry. You know, that training in one facility is much, much better. But they're also getting results. I think against Rovers, just as you said, the mentality there of not losing the game, boy, they were trying to win it, probably came against them, and they end up coming with a cropper and Rovers taking full advantage of it. But he's starting to turn. You can see the results coming for him. As I say, just the slight ones when you're going to Waterford, lack of concentration, thinking, oh, we'll turn up, we're at the winning 4 or 5 games, we should win this one because they're down the bottom of the table. It doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
It's a mentality thing. And once he gets that into the squad of players, they will get more results, as in wins, rather than defeats as they go along.
They've no Europe this year as well, so they can concentrate fully on the league, which could be a big thing come July.
And I think the McInniff goal against Derry the other day would generate the fans and really get them behind the club, being honest with you.
The benefit of having a heel, we've been talking about it all morning. My last question for you is about, like, so we're at the midpoint of the season now, obviously one round of fixtures left to go. It's the first time that we've had the regular weekly matches on TV. The social media has been much better. You get the goals almost straight away from all the games. So are you both noticing people talking to you on the streets casually about it. I'm going to ask you both the same question, but Barry, I might start with you, that actually just the level of interest from the general sports fan is much higher than it has been previously.
Yeah, it's tenfold. Like previously, in like some of the seasons, we were playing Dublin derbies and nobody knew until 5 minutes before kickoff that it was on or on the box. Now you've got a week's build up from yourselves, from Virgin, from various outlets, and it's everywhere. And the profile of the players has gone up, and you just have to look at even player wages have gone up because there's more sponsorship being brought into the teams. Look at what Bowes were able to do commercially. It's just been a success all over. But now we're probably getting to a tipping point now where we do need to obviously get investments and get things in and take it to the next level. Because just looking at the figures last week, there was a slight drop off in fan involvement last week in games. So you just have to keep a little eye on that and make sure the things and the kind of the perception of it isn't dropping off a little bit. So it's one that you just have to keep a little eye on. But so far, it's been brilliant.
Yeah, I totally agree. As you say, the social media side of it, I'm not on it, but it's, you know, like the goal, Elling's goal, I keep saying it, but I was talking to someone about it there the weekend and they said, I didn't see it. And straight away he was able to go on his phone and see the goal, and then we're able to talk about it. But I think more and more people are seeing, have more interest in the games, that they're texting me and say, did you see this happen? Did you see that happen? Which wouldn't have had for years. Like, you know, you've been talking about someone's goal, Cheryl scored a goal, and they wouldn't see it until the following Sunday when it's on, you know, on TV or something. So now you have instant watch of goals going in or incidents happening. The Duff picture up in the stand, it's straight away, it's up online and everyone's talking about it. So I think the whole league as a whole is benefiting more from the social media, from yourselves, from Fairview Media every week showing a game, where we would have gone back where RT would have showed a game every month or every 6 weeks. So it's great to see there's more interest in the league around. But the one thing we need to improve on is facilities. You know, around clubs, you see some grounds have great facilities, Shamrock Rovers, and then you see other grounds that were waiting to develop, like Daly Mount, we're waiting for that to develop into a new stadium, which should be, you know, unbelievable when it happens. Drogheda need to update the facility, so there is that where you need it, where Shells is the same, Talca has been the same stadium since I played there back in 98, so we really need infrastructure being improved.
Yeah, and that's the opportunity, I think, for all the fans, is to remind the politicians who called to the doors looking for their votes that they got the vote on the basis they would actually do stuff. And it's in the programme for a couple of months.
Politicians at the games as well.
Yeah, that's a big change. Yeah. And it is in the programme for government, and we do hear that there are positive noises being made about something that is relatively imminent. So we'll wait and see on that front. But Owen and Barry, thanks a million, folks. Cheers.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Owen.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
I've used Rory McIlroy's achievement as personal growth for myself. You can overcome adversity to lead your business in Q2.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.